Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Interview on KCAW Sitka. I'm Catherine Rose, and joining me this morning are Mary Beth Paloff and Shannon Haugland, here to talk about Radio Adventure Hour that's happening on Friday night at 7 o'clock at the PAC, right?
That's right. It's creeping up on us.
And can you tell me a little bit about the history of Radio Adventure Hour? How long has it been going on? How did it get its start and why?
Well, Radio Adventure Hour started, I think the first year we did a big production. And it was Ed Ronco and I. I mean, he's a radio guy and I'm a radio gal. And we knew there had been a history of radio theater in Sitka. But we thought it also might be fun to kind of recreate the old days of radio. We knew the scripts were out there. A lot of them were in common domain. There's thousands of them available, and we knew it would be pretty easy to get started that way. And we also wanted to use all the bells and whistles at the PAC and make it kind of an audience event, give people who were performing kind of the thrill of performing in front of a live audience, like they used to do in the old days of television, and I guess probably radio, you had live audiences for those. And the other thing that we figured out really quickly on is when we put on a show like Rumors, our first show, we needed 10 actors. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard to round up the first actors in our first few years. It was hard to get that. I mean, now we don't have that problem. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people responded, I just don't have the time.
Right.
Oh my gosh, I have to memorize lines. Like that part was really intimidating. And then all the trappings of drama, if you didn't grow up with it, the makeup, the costume.
Right.
It was just a big turnoff for a lot of people, but they still wanted to act. You could see the little glint in their eye. They wanted to act. And so this was a way to kind of serve all those goals. And also we had this nice new building, this beautiful building, the PAC, and we really wanted to use it. We really wanted to perform in that space.
And it's been going on for how many years now? 8 years?
Yeah,
seven?
I think about 8 years. It's been going on since the first year we did it, but we skipped a year. The year Ed Ronco left town, we kind of lost our footing. As anyone does when Ed Ronco leaves town.
Of course.
So, you know, the next year we realized how much people loved it by the person who came forward, to Susan Bronlin, who said, we have to get radio theater back. It's my favorite thing. I don't want to memorize lines. I don't want to be on stage, really, in a traditional way. So she got it started again. She was the one who pushed it forward, and Megan Pasternak, and she directed two plays that year.
And there's something a little bit different about this year. I don't know if this has happened before. Last year, Sitaris piece, she wrote, and this year all of the pieces are written by locals. How did you come to that decision or find out that people were interested and excited about writing?
It's kind of how we started. Like John Longenbaugh donated a bunch of great pieces, and I think Mary Beth was part of one of those. And they were short, they were exciting. They were kind of written as regular plays, but John Longenbaugh, who grew up in Sitka and went into theater professionally, realized they could really be used as radio pieces. Uh-huh. He was very excited, so he donated them to us. And that was our very first year. And so since then, we've had Zach and Rebecca Polson and Rebecca Polson wrote original pieces. Yep. So we've had a few people over the years write original pieces. And then it was kind of our dream when Sitara kind of got more involved in theater, whatever, 5 or 6 years ago. I don't know. We thought it would be great to have all original works. And this year it worked out. And I don't know. If people like it, we'll probably do it again. Or if we find a great classic radio piece. Someone suggested when we were on Problem Corner yesterday to do War of the Worlds. I mean, there are some great classic pieces of radio theater out there.
So, four pieces this year. You have Fall on Your Sword, Death Valley Junction, The Aristocrat Who Never Was, and Poppy's Potion. Can we talk a little bit about the different pieces and what makes them stand apart?
Well, we have basically two comedies and two fairly serious ones. Mm-hmm. Sitaria's is a period piece, you know, very 1940s kind of you get the feeling of that, and then
it's like a newsroom drama. Well, it's a reporter who uncovers a great mystery.
Yeah,
right.
And then the Death Valley Junction is dramatic and artsy, and actually has a piano piece at the end.
That's which what I Mary play, Beth yeah. plays.
Have to get that in there. Mm-hmm. And then the other two are comedies, like Poppy is just, it's cute. It's cute. It's about witches and warlocks, and you know, it's fun. And then Seton's play is kind of like a combination of Indiana Jones and it's like, it's supposed to be like a, you'd see like He-Man or something like that, but it ends up being more like Bugs Bunny.
It's got a lot of, like, Seton's got a really quirky sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
We all love it. And so some of the lines just hit you sideways, and you're just like, Seton's so funny. Yeah. And that one is more like, you know, it's got, you know, our hero, you know, kind of you're fighting evil, and there's a bit of the otherworldly in that play at all. There's a lot of bizarreness. I always think of Seton as having kind of a Monty Python sense of humor.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe him.
And disclosure alert, I am in Poppy's Potion. I just forgot which Poppies I play. I play Mad Poppy and Clumsy Poppy. And I just think that it's been so much fun to rehearse with Zeke and get great direction from him. He's the writer of Poppy's Potion and the director of the piece, and I've gotten so much enjoyment out of it. It's very silly and lighthearted. And Mary Beth, you play
Thug Number Two.
Thug Number Two in Seton's piece. Now, what's it like to play Thug Number Two?
It's actually a lot of fun because we're kind of the straight-faced characters, and we work for a guy that is just totally losing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, that's where the fun comes in. It's just like, okay, whatever. And I work with a friend of mine, Cecilia, and we play off each other. It's fun.
Very, very kind of deadpan.
Deadpan, yes, until the end.
And you also are playing the piano for Brian's piece,
right.
Death Valley Junction. Can you tell me, that sort of must be sort of an energy switch, right?
Well, it's nice, one's at the beginning, one's at the end, mm-hmm. but I did sound effects for a couple of years, and so it's kind of that same thing where you're part of the play in a different sense.
Mm-hmm.
And to tell you the truth, as far as sound effects are my favorite part. I mean, they're the most fun to watch. Mm-hmm. You're watching these people making these noises with things you never thought they would.
And there are dozens of things on stage.
Yes, and so you're watching them run around from an ironing board to this and making sounds that aren't what you're looking at.
Right. Yeah, I think... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say our sound effects team, Sarah Brewer, Inga Strami, and Ashley Eisenbeiss. This is the first year in many years that Gene Stolberg hasn't been here for the months leading up to the performance. And so Sarah Brewer stepped up. And I think it's one of those things, as she's the coordinator of the sound effects team, I think it's one of those things you don't realize until you are at the center of it, just how much work it is.
Sure.
It is by far, we always say it's by far the hardest job, but it is disproportionately difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Well, it involves a lot of time. And so I think it's, you know, in the future we might, you know, get more people involved in sound effects because it's just, you just look, when you come to the performance, you'll see, you know, so many props that they had to come up with out of whole cloth, either by going to garage sales or, you know, asking their friends or going to the YD or looking around their house or building something or asking someone to build something.
Right.
So, that is, I think it's really challenging and it's really fun, but it's super time consuming. It's time consuming and probably very stressful.
But it is just incredible to watch them do it.
It is. They do very little electronically. It's all a physical action.
Right. And anything else we'd like to touch on? We are running out of time. Anything else you'd like to touch on before we sign off this morning?
Oh, just a big shout out to the people who wrote and directed Seton Bryan, Satara Perez, Brian Holfish, and Zeke Blackwell.
And, oh, and the show tonight is dedicated to Bill Davis.
Yes.
Tomorrow night. Yeah.
Tomorrow night, sorry.
Yeah,
tomorrow
night. Yeah, and the show's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Performing Arts Center. Tickets are $10 for general audiences, $8 for adults and students. We give a free ticket to our volunteer community to thank them. So free tickets, not one free ticket, and to the YPT crew.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning. I've been speaking with Shannon Haugland and Mary Beth Paloff about Radio Adventure Hour, which is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the PAC. See you there.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks. Thank you.